week, been preaching all week long, and got into bed, been late hours every night, and 1 o'clock last night, and got up 4:45 this morning. So if I talk crooked or whatever, have you slur my words, you know I'm tired. But I hope you'll listen to what God's Word has to say today. I really struggled with the day preaching. Even sitting right there, I was changing the message. The Lord just changed in my heart. Jason preached on it, you know, and so I'm just going to try to be obedient. And it's going to be enough. I want to welcome all our guests with us today and say we love you in the Lord. I'm thinking, considering you pray for me, I just want clear direction. I'm tired of being crowded. thank you. I'm tired of being crowded. I kind of like last Sunday, so I'm going to pray about it. Maybe next Sunday we may just start meeting over there, and that's going to be that. And we're just going to have to give to finish the bathrooms and carpet. That's what we have left, and so I encourage you to be praying about that continually. And just that way the Lord, He's blessed us, and we'll be able to move. You know, I've had conflicting thoughts about it. You know, some to say, well, don't move until you get through, and some say, well, man, we need the room now, and there's people sitting in the back, and my heart goes out to them back there, so I'm going to pray about it, and we'll let everybody know by next Sunday. Let's pray. Father, it's good to be in your house. Lord, I pray you'd settle my heart this morning. And Lord, just help me to preach in a manner that's pleasing to you. Lord, you know my body. You know we can only take so much, but Lord, I thank you that your grace is sufficient. And Lord, spent a long week with funerals and wakes and revival meetings. But Lord, I thank you for the victory. Lord, at the funerals, every night, Lord, we've seen your hand move in a mighty way. And I trust, Lord, that you, Lord, will do it again today, this morning, in this place. And Father, that you would speak to all these souls. Lord, when I see the sea of people here this morning and those in the back, Lord, my heart just gets moved with compassion and yea, broken. I know the devil would love nothing more than destroy us, Lord, and brush up the unity and the harmony, Lord. But I pray, Father, against him. I lift up the standard against him, which is the blood of Christ. And know that no weapon formed against us will ever prosper. And Father, I thank you for that. I pray today for brokenness among your people. Lord, how we need that. I believe, as I preach this week, that's the prerequisite for revival. And there are many that are sitting here today in this place that need a true old-fashioned, heaven-sent revival. And it'll only come when we hear your word being spoken. And so, Father, now I just yield this time to you and ask you, Lord, to bring my heart, Lord, before yours. And just use me as a mouthpiece and speak through me today, Lord. And I acknowledge that, Lord, I'm nothing and you're everything. I must decrease. Lord, you must increase. Help me to do that. In Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. I brought something this morning. I brought my anchor. I went over there to the house a while ago and I got it. The Lord put on my heart. It's my old boat anchor. It's an old river anchor. Thing's heavy. It's 20 pounds. And I don't know if I did that or not, but it's about a 20-pound anchor. And, you know, it's pretty heavy. And the Lord began to show me an illustration with this thing. And I said, okay, and, you know, I like to use props at times. And I'm going to use this morning, and I just want you to listen. John 10:27, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said these words, and what words we must heed, and how I believe we need to heed them today. John 10:27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." Thank you, man. And I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. Do you have eternal life? Say amen. 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 And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And my Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And by saying you have eternal life, you're simply saying that you're a sheep. You're a child of God. You've been born again, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And I praise the Lord for that. And if you are a sheep, let me tell you the prime way to know that you're a sheep of God. And that is that you hear the voice of the shepherd, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? To know that I'm saved, the only way that I can know that I'm saved is not because I have a certain feeling or I've been through a baptism or anything like that. And all those things are good in their place. But the, the surefire way of knowing that I'm saved is I hear the voice of God. And I know the voice of God, and I know that God is with me and that He's in me. And I want to hear from Him, but I don't just want to hear, George. I want to obey. Amen? I want to listen to the voice of God. I believe the great problem today and tragedy with most folks is this, is that as we have failed to hear the voice of God. We've got old folks today that can't clearly, distinctly tell you, this is what God has said to me. And we've got youth today and everybody in between that can't say, look, distinctively, this is what God has spoken to me through His Word. And apart from opinion, apart from personal translation, but look, this is what God has said. And many folks can't say that, and that worries me, very frankly, and burdens my heart, how we need that as Christians, how God's church needs that, how we need to know the voice of God. You listen and say amen. We need to know the voice of God. Because whenever God seeks to change a people, you'll always find in the Bible that God always, first of all, He spoke. And God speaks and things are and things become and things change. And we need God to speak. But we don't just need God to speak, but we need as God's children to obey. And I wonder how many of us are actively hearing the voice of God and obeying the voice of God as He speaks to us day by day. Folks, it's a sad life when we call ourselves a Christian, and yet God is shouting from glory, giving us clear instruction through His Word, but yet we don't heed the Word. Kind of like those in the book of James that said, there are those that they hear the Word, but they don't do the Word. And that is a sad place to be in. I've been in revival this week, and God has shown up. I believe every night we saw the Lord. I believe God moved in some good ways. We seen last night. The last night was a great night. I believe that God worked. God spoke, and people listened. And you know, I want you to know that there is a God that still speaks. I hope you understand that God still speaks. And this book is not what God has said, but it's what God is saying today. And God forgive us if we get cold and indifferent to what the Word of God is saying. I wonder how many I'm preaching to today. And not to make you under a guilt trip or anything like that, but you know, we're called to study to show ourselves approved workers and need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. And I wonder how many of us have even picked up our Bibles this week and said, God, show me, or God, speak to me from Your Word as Your servant listens. And see, folks, if we don't, then, look, you understand that as a child of God, that just like that, we can get off course. We can get the wrong attitude. We can get the wrong direction in life. We can get the wrong motives in life when we fail to listen to what God has to say. We fail to read the Word of God and listen to the Word of God. Well, let me share with you this morning on about the Word of God and the effects that it has upon our life and why people don't want to hear the Word of God anymore today. And go to Nehemiah chapter 8 And this is where I feel like the Lord was leading. I was trying to go somewhere else, and the Lord just, my heart beats fast within me to go here in Nehemiah chapter 8. And I'm going to share with you this morning because I believe it's something that all of us need to hear. And I want you to tune in and not tune out. Just for your undivided attention for the next few moments, just listen to what's going on in this text. What does America need? A revival of the Word of God. What do we need in this church? Let's get more personal. We need a revival of the Word of God. Not that the Word of God is not being preached in this church, but is the Word of God being taken seriously in that pew? I mean, is the Word of God like what Job said in Job 23 and verse 10? He said, "Oh God, I have esteemed Your Word more important than my daily bread." That is, God, more important than the food that I eat. God, I have a hunger for Your Word. Notice this in chapter 8 and verse 1. You'll find, let me just give you a little introduction. You'll find in the Bible that there was about 12 major movements of the Lord. And Joe and I was talking about this yesterday, and I was sharing some of this with him, that you'll find 12 revivals, 12 major moves where God moved, and you'll find Exodus 32 under Moses. God did a great work there, revived His people. 1 Samuel 7, it goes under the prophet Samuel, the man of God Samuel, under David in 2 Samuel 6, under Asa, under Jehoshaphat, under Jehoiada, I believe is how you pronounce that name, under Hezekiah and Josiah and Zerubbabel, and under Ezra, you'll find under all the men, you'll find that God was doing a mighty work. You know, under Joshua, God did a mighty work and brought great effect. Under Joel was a man that you'll find a real revival. I'm talking not a few day meeting, but a real God breathed revival where people's hearts just shuddered over their sin. You know, Vance Havner said this, and I know I'm going to say some things about revival because I've been in revival mode all week. But Vance Havner said these words. He said, "The greatest need of America is an old-fashioned, heaven-sent, God-brought revival throughout this land." He said, "Throughout the history of the church, when clouds hung the lowest, when sin seemed the blackest, and faith has been the weakness, there's always been a faithful few who have not sold out to the devil, and who have not bowed the knee to this world. There have been a faithful few who have feared God and thought upon the name of the Lord and have not forsaken the assembling of themselves together. And they have asked the Lord to revive His work in the midst of years and fears and tears and for God to have mercy." And Vance Havner said, "And God has always answered such supplication, filling each heart with love and rekindling each soul with fire from above." And I believe that. And even if it was just one person coming before the Lord saying, "God, revive me with your word. God, do something and rekindle my heart with fire from above." Then God would come to that one person. And the reason why we don't have it is because we really don't want it. And we have not because we ask not. And the reason why many folks today are getting into a directionless life where they don't know what direction they're going in and they don't know what they're doing. They don't know the answers to life's questions and they don't know why they're in the way that they're in and what purpose they have in life is because we have grown lethargic and cold to the Word of God. Amen. I told him this week, and I tell you, and you probably heard me say it before, and I'll say it again, I don't know how much God you've got, but you've got all you want. Amen. Amen. Look at Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 1. You find a great revival God began to do in chapters preceding this. You'll find that, and we studied through the whole book of Nehemiah. I'd love to do it again one of these years. But and all the people gathered, verse 1, and they were gathering together. Into the street. The Bible says, gathers one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord God had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street, and that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Now, I'm not going to read all the scriptures at once. I want to take them as we go. You'll find that a few chapters preceding this, that God did something wonderful. He established the temple. In 52 days, the temple was built. And it was a miracle in and of itself. Only God could have done it. There was opposition on every side. But yet, all of a sudden, the temple was built. And they had the temple, a place to worship the Lord and make the sacrifices that God required of in the Old Testament. And they was all in the temple. And everything seemed to be fine. And everything was looking good and beautiful. And all those good things was wonderful. But then all of a sudden the people said, "Hey, wait a minute, something is missing in our lives. There's something that we desperately need, something that we've just got to have, the Word of God." And so they get Ezra. They said, "Ezra, the preacher, the priest, whatever you want to call him," they said, "Ezra, we want you to do something, Ezra. We want you to get the parchments, get the scrolls, and we want you to bring them before us. And Ezra, we want you to share with us the Word of God." Now, the first thing, listen, in the onset of this revival, first thing I want you to see is there's the Word of God. The second thing I want you to see is there is a hunger for the Word of God. And folks, well, what do we need at Pine Ridge? And we're not talking about everybody else, but we're talking about this church. We're talking about your life. What do we need in this church? We need a revival of hunger for the Word of God. I know there's a few folks that, man, they're eating on the Word, and that's good, and that's wonderful, and praise God for you. But folks, we need to ask God to revive our hunger for His Word. We get so excited about everything else. You can put on a TV show, and you can go to a ball game, or you can go do some sport or whatever, and boy, we can get excited about those things, and that's okay. God wants us to get excited about things and have some joy and some good old homemade fun. Amen. But we ought to also have that same type of excitement for the Word of God. He said, my sheep, they what? Hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me. May I say, when we hear the voice of God, it will excite us. It will thrill our heart if we know the voice of God when God speaks. Now, when you speak about God, you're not just speaking about, you know, Tom, Dick, or Harry down the road. You're not speaking about the Joneses next door. You're speaking about God. And God would be the biggest subject. And God would be the one that can do all things. And God would be the great creator. And God would be the one that hung all the stars and gave them all a name. And God would be the one that commands the sun to rise and to set when it does. And the moon to rise and set when it does. And God would be the one that knows every hair of your head that is numbered. Amen. But when that God speaks, don't you think it ought to excite us? Don't you think it ought to do something to us? Amen. But how many of us are hungry for the Word of God in that fashion? And here's the prophet, the man Nehemiah, and he said something. He said, they gathered themselves together as one man. I like that. They come together as one. And folks, listen to me. What do we need in these last days? What do we need as a church? We got a lot of people. That's great. Wonderful. Fine. Amen. Thank God for it. We pray God bring more. My vision, you don't want to know my vision. It's going to scare you half to death for the future. But listen to this. What we need desperately is we need to become as one man on the Word of God. That God would bring us together in a love and a hunger for His Word. We're not going to always agree on everything when it comes to the Word of God. Yes, we're going to disagree. But listen, there's one man we can agree on, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We ought to have a hunger and come together as one man. One man, what does that mean? That means unity. Coming together, uniting together in the fear of the Lord, saying, God, we just want to know Your Word. God, we just want to know more about Jesus. More about Jesus, let me learn. More of His will, may I discern. God, help us to become as one man hearing the Word of God. There was a hunger for the Word of God. But then you'll find as they went on, the Bible says in verse 3, watch what He said. He said that they was all as one man, met in the street. That was before the water gate from the morning until when? Until midday. And the ears of all the people were what? They were attentive unto the book of the law. Secondly, not only was there a hunger there, but there was a hearing of the Word of God. That is, they heard God's Word. And God's Word was a blessing for them to hear. And they went from morning to midday. In chapter 9, you'll find this. The Bible says in chapter 9 in verse 3, watch. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God, 1/4 part of the day, that would be 6 hours, if I know my math right, and 1/4 part of the day, they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. Now, did you get that? I mean, here it is, folks. Listen, they didn't just have a hunger for the Word of God, but they wanted to so heed the Word of God. For 6 hours, that's 1/4 of the day, they began to, now watch this, they opened the parchments and the scrolls and they read the Word of God. And they shared it with the people. And the people, they were there. Can you see their eyes just open their mouths as though they were eating from something so precious? And they were listening and they were taking it in. And they were saying, tell me more. And they were listening attentively, the Bible says. They gave attention. Their ears were open and they were attentive to what God was saying for 6 hours. And then when they got that, for 6 more hours, they confessed their sin. Huh? I mean, 6 hours, man. Can you imagine the weeping and the bitterness and the mourning and the on their faceness before God, the humility and saying, oh, God, forgive me. I am a sinner. And they hungered for the Word of God and they heard the Word of God. But watch this. They gave honor to the Word of God. You'll find that in verse 5, the Bible says in verse 4, let's read verse 4. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for this purpose. Let me stop right there and say this. A pulpit of wood. You know, the pulpit is still for preaching the Word of God. Amen. Ricky. I got Ricky right now. I talked to Ricky the other day, yesterday, matter of fact. Got Ricky Bergeron. He's our carpenter over there. He's going to make us about a 6-foot-wide pulpit. I said, Ricky, I want it sturdy. I want it stout. We're going to have columns in it. I think you'll like it. It's going to be beautiful. But listen, it's a pulpit. It's a pulpit of wood. And listen, I said, Ricky, I want it to be big. I want it to be bold. I want it to be tough. I don't want it to turn over. Why? Because I want to take the Word of God and preach behind the pulpit of God, the things of God, to the people of God, so we can come more like God. Amen? Amen. That's what we need today. But so many get behind the pulpits with pansy, milk toast, you know, watered down, don't want to offend nobody type preaching. Listen, to hell with that. Amen? That's what the devil wants. But we need to take the Word of God and says, thus says the Word of God. And take the pulpits today. And one man said, listen, you want a revival in the pew? Then we just need a revival in the pulpit again. Amen? Amen. Preach a little more hell behind the pulpit. You may have a little less hell lived out in the pew. Reason why so many are directionless in the pew is because there's lack of direction in the pulpits of today in America. Amen? Well, listen, let me move on. Watch. Not only did they give honor to the Word of God, but, well, let me read, I'm getting ahead of myself. He said, for this purpose, now that's what he said in verse 4. And he gives all these hard names, and I'm not going to embarrass myself by trying to read out those. Look in verse 5. And the Bible says, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Is God great? Say amen. Amen. Then we ought to give him honor. Amen. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered. And they said, watch here, amen, amen, lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And now watch this. Verse 7, he caused the people to understand the law. And the people stood in their place, and they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. What they do? They was hungry for the Word of God. What they do? They heard the Word of God. What do? They honored the Word of God by what? By lifting up their hands. I know we're Baptists, but it's okay to lift your hands. It's in the Bible. As long as your hands are clean. Don't you raise dirty hands for the Lord. That's hypocrisy. But if your heart's clean, your hands are clean, lift your hand, praise the Lord, give honor to God, shout amen, glory to God, hallelujah, praise the God, thank you, Jesus. Don't have to be quiet in church. The little boy said, shh, better be quiet. Why? Why, mama, why? You know, I mean, another boy said, you might wake up the dead. No, you don't. Look, let me tell you, we're going to have a big surprise when we get to heaven one day, because it's going to be loud. Hey, I mean, you read the book of Revelations, you can't tell me it's a quiet place where everybody's floating around on clouds and shh, be quiet, but I disturb God. No, I believe in heaven they're singing, like we preached last Sunday, worthy is the Lamb. All glory and honor and praise be to the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. Listen, when we get to heaven, folks, it's going to be a rude awakening for some quiet little sweet little folks sitting on a pew that don't want to say any glory to God, because it's going to be a shout. I believe that. You know, I told him this week in revival, I said, look, the danger that we face is not that, listen, that Raymond Rollins, I'll use him because he's on a front pew and I like to pick on him, but that Raymond Rollins is going to get so carried away and shouting and saying glory to God and hallelujah that we'll never be able to cool old Raymond down. See, the problem would be that old Raymond would get so cold and lethargic and non-moved by the things of God that nobody could warm old Raymond up. Amen. That's where we've gotten today. Folks, listen, I'm a preacher. And I'm ashamed of it. God's called me to preach, and this is what God has called me to do. And I know that, and I'm humbled by that. But I'll tell you what I see is that, listen, man, preachers today can rip their hearts out. And people will sit in a pew many times as though God's never said anything. Amen, George? Amen. As though God's never even spoken. And you know, this isn't the Word of God. This is man's Word. It's something else. Listen, if this is God's Word, good. Believe it. Receive it and obey it. Amen. If it ain't, we're all going to hell. Amen. You understand? Let me say it again. If it ain't the Word of God, we're all going to hell. Because we ain't got a leg to stand on. Amen. It is the Word of God.
And we are to honor the Word of God, and we are to hear the Word of God, and we are to hunger the Word of God. But notice what he said. He said, here's Ezra. He gets up behind the pulpit of wood that was built for the purpose of preaching. He begins to preach the Word of God, and he began to open the Word of God, and he caused the people to understand the Word of God. He read the Word of God distinctly. He gave the sense. He caused them to understand the reading. Let me stop there and say this, that my duty as a pastor, and this is my duty. My duty is not to wipe let me be careful here. My duty is not to wipe tears from your eyes and babysit you and pamper you and all. My duty and my calling as a man of God is to take the Word of God and preach the Christ of God, give the understanding from the Word of God so that you may leave those doors and say, okay, I know what God is saying to me. Amen. And very frankly, if you get up out of here this morning having heard this young country boy preach, and you walk out that door not knowing what God has spoke, not knowing what God has said, then very frankly, I failed. See, I can't afford the privilege of saying, you know what, I've got the gift of preaching, but you don't have the gift of listening. Don't work like that. But whenever I preach the Word of God and filled with the Spirit of God and led by the hand of God and preach that Word of God, then you, all of you that are listening and hungry and wanting to heed the Word of God, you ought to be able to get up and say, you know what? I know what my God has said to me in Sunday morning service at Pine Ridge or Sunday night or Wednesday night or whenever we're here. Amen. I know. Amen. Can you say amen to that? Yes. You ought to be able to do that. But if you can't, then very, very frankly, I failed. I've missed it. If you come to hear from the Lord, then listen, you will hear from the Lord. All right? If you come just to be a part of a, you know, church, just kind of sit and see what I can get out of this thing, you know, just to, you know, just kind of be, well, I got to do my duty. I got to go to church. If you didn't come expecting it, you'll never receive it. All right, now watch. This is going somewhere. Now watch this. They gave honor to the Word of God. They heeded the Word of God. Now what did the Word of God do? Listen to this. Verse 9. Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Watch here. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard what? The words of the law. And here's the people. Ezra said, look, don't you mourn and don't you weep because all the people wept. Now I was thinking about that. Why did all the people weep? I mean, here they are. They crying, boo-hooing. Man just read the Word of God and they was boo-hooing and crying and weeping and broken and down on their face, weeping until Ezra had to come and he said, look, don't weep anymore. Dry your tears. Get up. Wash your face. Let the joy of the Lord, he goes on to say, let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Why'd they weep though? I tell you why they wept. They'll weep just for the same reason we'll weep if we hear the Word of God. Because their sins were confronted when they heard the Word of God. You know why people don't want to hear the Word of God? You know why? I tell you why. Because people don't want their sins confronted. People don't want to answer the questions that God has for them. People don't want to come into face to face with a holy God. And that's why many folks, when even they may sit high, wide, and handsome in church, will put the earbobs or the ear stoppers in and just zone it out. They'll think about what I got for dinner, what we're going to do tomorrow, what we did yesterday. And boy, that preacher's preaching to somebody else today, amen. And man, listen. And we'll put the spiritual ear stoppers in so we won't hear. Why? Here's why. Because we like our sin. And let me tell you something about sin. This is why we need a revival of the Word of God. Because sin is rampant, even in the house of God. Where we have become to do like Judges 17, I believe, verse 6 says, where every man wants to do what is right. Now watch this, and I could preach the rest of that. I may just do this. But what? Where every man can do what is right in his own eyes. That's where we're at today. You know why? Because we don't have the Word of God in our hearts. Let me tell you something about Jason Talley. I can't do what I want to do. Because God's Word won't let me. And I'm glad of that. I mean, I've got old flesh hanging on me that wants to do some wicked things at times. I want to say some wicked things. I want to get in the flesh at times because I got an old flesh. And don't look at me like you don't, because you do too. I can't do what I want to do. what my flesh wants to do. My spirit doesn't want to do it, praise God. But I have a flesh hanging on me, and I want you to listen, that I can't just go off and do and say and act any old way I want to do and say and act, because God's Word is the restrictor on my life. And God's Word deals with me about sin and about righteousness and about the judgment that is to come. And so, now I want you to listen carefully. That's why many people don't like the Word of God, because we want to do what's right in our own eyes. And that's why I want to go a step further and just say this. That's why many churches today, and that's why this church, many in place, in many areas of this church, is suffering greatly. Suffering greatly. Because we do what's right in our own eyes. Because we take the Word of God and we say, oh, well, you know, that's for another day. That's for somebody else. Go to Genesis with me, chapter 3. Let me show you what I'm talking about. The Lord just showed me this last week. And I shared this in the revival one night, and it blessed me. Me and my kids were talking, going to revival, and I love talking to them about the Bible when I hem them up in a car. I love them to squirm like worms in hot ashes, man. But, man, they surprised me this week. They answered rightly. They answered good. And I'm like, see, they done learned to get prepared for daddy, you know. And so I'm talking to them. I said, well, what about old Adam? We got talking about Adam. Genesis 3:7. Read the verse with me. We got talking about Adam, and I want to do a little pop quiz with them. Parents, you ought to do that. You ought to share the Word of God with your kids. But watch what he said. And they heard, you remember the story, and I won't read it all, but you remember what happened here? And you'll remember that God had made Adam from the dust of the earth, put him in a garden, took the rib, made the woman, there they were. They were in the garden, they were fine, everything was good, but then the devil come, and I got a new message. I said, that'd be a good title, When Snakes Walked and Talked. And the devil come in the garden walking and talking, and he was hawking old Adam and Eve, and he got them there, and he got Eve, and he caught the weaker vessel, the woman, and he began to say, oh, how God said, he began to plant doubt about the Word of God. He began to tear down the Word of God in her heart. Let me stop and say this. The devil ain't changed his playbook yet. Listen, there are false teachings and demonic spirits and all kind of his cronies today that are all out there. And listen, the devil is wanting to take the Word of God that God has showed you in your lifetime and begin to bust it down and tear it down and say, you know what? That ain't true after all. Oh, you heard this, but you know what? I mean, God didn't really mean that. And you see him working that way in Genesis chapter 3. And folks, let me clear that up. Our God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And so here he is. He's slick talking to Eve. And anyway, long story short, you know, the story, they both fell in the garden. Naked, eating fruit. Paradise. Wonderful. You can't tell me you wouldn't have liked that. That would have been good. Be in the garden, just sitting under a tree, naked, eating fruit. Not knowing you wasn't naked. Just unashamed. And there you go. But then something happened. They took the tree of the fruit of the tree that God said not to. You know the story. And you can look around and see the story, the rest of the story. There was a fall. And great was the fall. And then God come in the garden, and what'd God say? He said, Adam, where are you? I mean, Adam, hey, Adam, where are you? And boy, Adam, I can hear his reluctancy in his voice. He said in chapter 3 and verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Now watch that. He was afraid. And I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Now watch verse 11. And he said, who told you that you was naked? Now this is God. God said, who told you, Adam, that you was naked? And then God asked another question. Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded that you should not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And let me just stop the reading right there. Here's God. He comes and he asks that first question. He said, Adam, where are you? And Adam says, here I is. I was in the bushes hiding from you. And he was. And he was hiding from God.
Why do you suppose God asked him that question? I mean, really, why did God ask Adam, Adam, where are you? For information? I mean, does not God know everything? Don't he know everything? But he didn't just ask him one question. He asked him three questions. He said, Adam, where are you? And then he said, Adam said, oh, I'm naked and hiding. I'm in the bush. He said, Adam, who told you you were naked, Adam? And Adam, have you eaten of the tree that I commanded you not to? Three questions. I'm asking you, why did God ask Adam three questions? For information? God knows everything. God, there ain't nothing God doesn't know. He knows all the hairs of your head. They're all numbered. He knows you're sitting here this morning. He knows what's going on in your heart right now. He knows if you're saved or lost. He knows your greatest need. He knows if you're mad, if you're glad. He knows if you're angry or you're sweet. He knows. Nothing God don't know. Amen? So he was asking him not for information. Let me say, Adam, God was asking Adam that question for revelation. I mean revelation. He was wanting to reveal to Adam where he was. Now, we're talking this morning about the Word of God. Now, watch the scenario with Adam. All right? Here come God, and God's Word comes forth. Where are you? Where are you, Adam? Who told you you was naked, Adam? That's all the Word of God. That's the voice of God. That's the Word of God. Amen? I said amen. That's the voice of God, the Word of God. Now, watch this. The Word of God hit. And Adam saw himself right where he was. Do you see why we need to be preaching the Word of God and teaching the Word of God? Do you see why our children, our youth, our young ones, they need mama and daddy to be saying, thus says the Word of God? No wonder we have so many paganistic youth today. No wonder we have some wicked, wild parents today that are ungodly and immoral. Because many folk, and I say most folk, are not getting the truth of the Word of God. And this is what God... See, when we hear the Word of God, then this, there's a great revelation of who we are. I read Blackaby this week. He said, listen, when we preach the Word of God, what happens is that God will take His Word and the fire of His Word will light upon the hearts of man. And it will break the hearts of man and it will bring man's heart to a deep sense of contriteness and conviction before His holiness. And then there's revival. But listen to me. Nobody weeps anymore. My heart was broken this morning when I started. I can't explain it, but I'll tell you this. We need some weepers today, like we see in Nehemiah's day, where people will weep before the Lord as we see ourselves, as ourselves are revealed by the Word of God. We've gotten too haughty today. We've gotten too macho as a church, too macho as a people. I don't like all that crying sissy stuff, preacher. Hey, listen, it takes a real man to cry. Amen? And I don't mean boo-hooing and going on ecstatically and just, you know, but I'm saying that there ought to be you ought to find time if it's to get alone out yonder in the woods in a hollow somewhere and let God show you His Word and break you over who you are and reveal to you the things in your life that you need to be about. And reveal to you the worldliness that sets up in our heart and penetrates our heart. Because Jesus said, what, know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Amen. God's Word brings revelation. What about the story of a few come to mind? Genesis 32 with Jacob. And Jacob was there and God had wrestled with Jacob all night long. And you'll find that God asked old Jacob a question. And he asked Jacob that question. He said, he wrestled back and forth. Jacob said, I'll not let you go unless you bless me. Then he asked Jacob that question. Jacob, what's your name? To ask the Word of God. This was God that Jacob was fighting with. He said, Jacob, what is your name, son? And
And Jacob answered, and I want to read it. He said, and he said, Jacob. I mean, he answered him elaborately, didn't he? He said, I'm Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be no longer called Jacob, but Israel, for prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hath prevailed. And here's Jacob. Man, listen, God had done crippled him up. God hollowed out his thigh. He could have got away, and here's the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, and he says, Jacob, let me go. God could have got away from Jacob. But God didn't want to get away from Jacob. He wrestled with him all night long. Finally, he asked him a question, what's your name? Now listen to me, that's the Word of God. I want you to see the pattern. That's the Word of God. And it brought revelation to Jacob. See, the Word of God. And then Jacob said, I'm Jacob. What does Jacob mean? Jacob means I'm deceiver, I'm conniver, I'm supplanter, I'm all this wicked stuff. And it was revealed unto him. Now listen, what are you saying, Brother Jason? And I know I'm going to have to quit here. But I want you to listen. So many places you find the Word of God being spoke and then great revelation being found. We need, as God's people, a Word from God. Because only when we have a Word from God will we have direction. Clear direction. What God wants us to do. That's why Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Because it's in prayer that we get a word from the Lord. It's through the Bible study and through the Word of God in prayer that we get a word from the Lord. And why you got that anchor around your feet? Well, listen to me. This is just an illustration that I want you to see. Because this is what happens when we don't know what God is saying. You get one or two people that know what the Lord is saying and they can take off in the will of God and be heading that direction. But then you get some others that don't know, and then it's like they become a ball and chain to the people of God. You get people over here serving and taking places and getting in their positions and doing because they've heard from God and they know what God wants and they're being a part and they're being God's part, and that's wonderful. But then you get people over here that don't know the Word of God, don't know what God is telling them to do other than just live for the world and do the things of the world and you know, just live a happy, clappy life and just, you know, make your money and make your time and do all these things to please yourself. And that, and many folks, they think that's what life consists of, but it is not. Hey, who's here for God? I understand the Word of God correctly. We're not created for our purposes. We're created for His purposes. But we've done gone to living for ourselves more than the things of God. I know 90% of you won't hear me this morning. But if just two of you, three of you do, it'd be worth it. To know that God gives us a Word, that we may follow that Word. That Word may reveal to us that we may get clean. Once we get clean, we may have clear direction and we'll follow God's direction and not become a ball and chain to the other brothers and sisters in Christ. Man, my heart leaps this morning. This is part of my brokenness. Listen, it's joy. My heart leaps inside when I look at a crowd this size right here. There's a lot of people out. A lot of people that ain't here today. And a lot of people ain't going to come until we get more room. Believe that or not. But listen to me. My heart leaps inside me when I think. I mean, what could happen? Think about what could happen if every one of you sitting in that pew right there and myself had a word from God and we followed that word as one man. I don't know. I think it'd blow our minds. I mean, if we just quit living for ourselves and say, God, what do you want me to do first? God, you first. Isn't that right? Is that the priority of life? Or is it? God, what do you say first? Not employer, what do you say first? Not friends, what do you say first? Or not greenbacks, what do you say first? Preach on, preacher. Or not fun and games and sports and activities of the world and things of the world, what do you say first? But we need every mom and dad and everybody, every soul in this place who says you love the Lord and says you have eternal life and you know the voice of God, as you said amen to a while ago. We need every one of us to say, okay, God, what do you say first? And then when God says what He has to say and we just obey, man, listen, we ain't seen nothing yet. We ain't seen nothing yet. But if you don't know the voice of God, then you got bigger problems than anything else. I'm serious. So I'm going to close with this question, and I want you to listen real, real carefully. I'm going to ask you a real, real, real important question. Do you know the voice of God? You say, but that offends me, preacher. I'm not here to offend you. I'm just asking you a question, just a simple question. Do you know the voice of God? If you, listen, His sheep know His voice. And His sheep follow Him. Can't mess that up too bad. That's pretty clear. Pretty clear. Listen to me. I believe every one of us need to, as Christians, take this weight and do like Hebrews 12:1 says. He said, look, we ought to lay aside every weight of sin that doth easily beset us. See, when God begins to reveal to us, you know, His Word, and He begins to show us, you know, who we are, when He reveals to us like Jacob, God says, look, this is who you are. This is what you've been about. Hey, here's your attitude. Had a man come to me in this revival this week, and I appreciate it, man, genuine. He comes to me and said, man, I'm a cusser. I need you to pray for me. I got to quit cussing. It's an old country boy. Got to befriend him through the week. I appreciate that. Just total honesty. Now, I'm a cusser, and I just want God to forgive me for cussing. You know what? He did. You know what he did? He just laid aside the sin that easily beset him. Some others confessed things this week. Laid aside the sin that easily beset him. What can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Isaiah 59 says in verse 12, we know our sins. That's what he said. Don't you know your sins? You know your sins? Do you? Really? You know your sins. It's hard for you to admit it. I can tell right now. You know your sins, though. A lot of you nodding your head, yeah, I know my sins. Then listen to this. Listen to this old-fashioned word. Repent. If you know your sins, then you repent of them. If you know what's holding you back, repent of them. So you can, like Hebrews 12:2 says, so you can run the race that is set before you. And folks, we better get to running. I'm telling you, when we get a word from God, we know what God is saying. We better run. Because there's only so many days left. So many hours. The time is short. How about it today? You going to lay aside the sin that easily besets you? You going to say, Lord, forgive me for not being a student of the Word of God? Are you going to say, Lord, forgive me for not having a hunger like I need for the Word of God? Lord, you going to, Lord, forgive me for being a directionless Christian? God, forgive me. I want you to bow your head. I want you to think about what's been said.